Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast. My name is Mitch, and this episode is brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. That's right, I'm sponsoring my own podcast. If you guys didn't know, my main business is fitness. So I've worked as a personal trainer, as a fitness coach, as a professional in the fitness industry for the last 20 plus years. So if you're looking for a little bit of help with your workout programs or nutrition, or just a kick in the butt, or if you have something coming up, athletic event that you want a little bit of help on, I work in person, I work online, I have small groups, large groups, one-on-one training. If that's what you're looking for, I can help you out. So just message me back on the Facebook app and we'll link up. Otherwise, if you're here for some more Crossroad Off-Road action, here it is. Welcome back to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast. I guess I'm back. I've been off for a little while. I didn't get COVID, don't worry. I didn't get that. But just life got in the way. I just got busy with other things, and I was kind of bummed out a little bit about what the current circumstances, because it was getting around Thanksgiving. Usually my family gets together for Thanksgiving. We have a huge family. For example, last year there was 30 people at my house for Thanksgiving, or I guess it would be 2019, I guess, and put it in terms of years. And this year was just the four of us, and it was kind of a bummer. It was a great time to get together with family. So I was a bit bummed out about that, and the old work life was not the best. The business took a hit, but hopefully that's coming back sometime soon. So I was just kind of just dealing with a bunch of that stuff, I guess you could say. But hopefully now I can get back on track of putting out some content. Another thing that was a problem was I didn't have anything to talk about. That was a problem because I wasn't able to do any upgrades on the Jeep. So I'm going to talk about that. Wasn't going anywhere because there wasn't much places to go. And so it's kind of bumming me out a little bit. But now today, this is Saturday the 16th of January. I got a little plan to go do something. So it looks like we're hitting some, I'm not sure what we have planned. I guess we're hitting to get together with another group who has a plan up by Elk River to do some off-roading, some light off-roading, I'm guessing. And we're going to see where it takes us. We'll probably just be stuck on some side roads. I don't know. But we're going to have some fun with it in the end. But yeah, so hopefully we're back after it. Today I'm going to do a kind of a postscript about, at the end of this podcast, I think about what the experience was like off-roading. So you're going to hear about what I actually did and what was the adventure that we had today. Because, Jeeps are all about adventure. So I'm going to have more about this in the end. But as the Jeep sits right now, there's still no lockers in it. I'm still waiting to save it up a little bit. I have all the lockers. I just haven't put them in. And because I want to do a little re-gear action with the bigger tires, and all that's kind of on pause yet. So there's really no upgrades done to the Jeep besides it's washed and it's been clean and it hasn't been started in a while. So I think Christmas I backed it out of the garage because we did some fun garage party with my family, just my kid, my sons, and my wife. But otherwise it hasn't hit the street. I don't know when the last time it's actually been out. So today's an exciting day. We could put some miles on it. So good to go. Pretty excited to do that. But first, I want to catch you up a little bit about a little segment I call Can Mitch Fix It? So I did do some upgrades on the old snowblower. So the snowblower, as you know, I talked about it before when I did a little bit of engine work to it. I had I think I did an oil change at one time, and then I kind of dug into the carb a little bit, and I was going to change a bunch of stuff, and I spark plug, took all the gas out. Now it runs like a top. Put a new muffler on there. I talked about that in the past. Runs like a top. I did it all last winter and did all that work, and I didn't even use it again after I did all that work. But it's an 824 MTD, and I always tease my brother. He has a big 10 horse John Deere, and I say I think my 8 horse is pushing out about 10 and a quarter now, so it's not legal in this state even, I say. I always joke, but it has a bunch more power. It feels like it anyhow. So I'm pretty happy about that upgrades that I did there. But I was snow blowing this year. In my front yard, I have the typical driveway, nice wide driveway, but then I have a paver patio going to the front door, and all of a sudden the thing just hit the brakes. It stopped, and it hit something hard. The pavers aren't even, so I knew it wasn't even, but I knew for a while that the wear bar or scraper bar, I called it the wear bar, but it's actually called the scraper bar, was getting pretty bad. I needed to work on that, And I looked underneath, and here it had bent the tub. It caught something and bent the, might call the tub or the chute, I guess, whatever you want to call the gathering place, where all the things are. So I hammered that all back into place, finished the job, but I'm like, okay, I really need to tear this apart. So YouTube to the rescue, I kind of just typed in scraper or wear bar, and some guy had the same exact machine I did, and he did an 8-minute video on his update to this scraper bar. And I thought it was great. So I ordered this scraper bar, Amazon special, and the bolts to hook the scraper bar on, because I knew I couldn't reuse those, because three, there's four of them on the bottom, and three of them were already like wore off. I mean, it was wore off pretty good. So I ordered all the parts, and I should have just ordered the side. There's some side sliders or skids, I guess they're called. I should have just ordered a hardware this then for those also. And I should have just ordered new, scraper or skids also, because I've tried repainting them and they didn't come out so hot. But whatever, it's a snowblower. I use it a few months out of the year. But I went to the hardware store, and here's another thing: you always, when you go to the hardware store, you always want to talk to the oldest guy there. He seems to be the guy or the manager. They always know everything. So he comes walking right up to me. He goes, "What do you need?" And this is a Jerry's Hardware in Eden Prairie, not a sponsor, but they do a good job for me. And right away, we walk into that store. And within a minute, you're gonna have four guys ask you if you need help. I mean, it's just the way they are. They're great. But the John, I think is his name, comes up to me. "Hey, what do you need?" I said, "Well, I need four of these." He goes, "Oh yeah, blah blah blah. Here's the size you need," and got a direct replacement. And that's what I used to kind of put it all back together. But before I did all that, I thought, well, since I have it apart, let's slap some paint on this thing and kind of fix it up. Which I should be doing is spraying it down after every use, because it does get into the salt, it does get into that, so I should be spraying it down after every use, but I usually don't do that, and I gotta get in the habit of that. The snow blower is already 20 something years old. I think the rust has set in just nicely, so I don't think I can kind of save it as much as I would hope. But if I had a brand new one, I definitely would be spraying it down after every use, especially since I got the heated garage and I can't really, and I have drains, so I can't really say I shouldn't do it. But so yeah, it's got some rust on it from the years and before I even owned it. I've only owned it for 15 years, and it's at least 20 or 25 years old. But so anyhow, I put some, ground it down, hit it with some spray paint in the spots that I knew I was going to be covering back up with the new parts. Before that, when I took it off, it was funny because the guy on the video, he actually used a Dremel, I think, or a side gr or a grinder, a hand grinder, to take off the bolts. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, well, I don't have that tool, which is one of those tools I probably should have. I just don't have that specific tool. But I needed to kind of grind these off to get them out, these carriage bolts. And so I'm looking at them, like, what can I do? What can I use? And on the farm growing up, my dad had a side grinder, but sometimes you can't get into those spots, but he did have a cold chisel. Well, cold chisel, for lack of a better term, if you guys don't know, it's a chisel with a nice tip that's used to cut metal. If you pound it enough, it'll cut through and get through the metal. And I have my dad's cold chisel, so I got that out, and I think took one hit to get one off, and it took two hits to get another one off, and just end up breaking the bolts the rest of the way that were already ground down. So it wasn't too much work for the cold chisel or the light hammer that I was using. And so that's how I got the old scraper bar off after taking out all the other bolts and the ones that were ground off a little bit. I couldn't get a socket on to kind of pull it apart or to wrench it off. I just used the cold chisel on. Got the old part off. I kept the old part because I wanted to make sure that the new part was the exact match. And ordered up, and it must have came from the moon because it took about a week and a half to get here. But finally got here, and sure enough, it was definitely wore down. I got the old part. I'm looking at it right now, and I would say more than half of it was gone. So what I think is happening is the skids were not adjusted correctly, and then like I never adjusted them, but they might have just wore down themselves or moved. I don't know. And then it started wearing down that scraper bar. So now I went in the same video I used online. MTD or not MTD, the guy who changed it all out on YouTube, I should say, he showed you how to adjust the scraper or the skids for the scraper bar and all that stuff. It's an eighth of an inch. So I when I put it all back together, got the carriage bolts from the John at the Hardware, Jerry's Hardware, and the ones I had ordered already, slapped all back in place, no problem. After the paint was all dry, I used the rust converter and everything too. I spread all over it, rust converter, while I was in there. Hit it with some red spray paint. So now I have a huge thing of red spray paint, which I'll probably barely ever use. But I'm actually thinking about taking my tow hooks off the Jeep and spray painting them red because they're black right now, the stock tow hooks. I think it'll look cool. We'll see if I actually do that. But anyhow, so I got red spray paint to beat the band now. But so yeah, I'll put it all back together, and finally it's had it together for a week, and finally it snowed, went out there, worked just fine. I have to do a slight adjustment to one of the skids because it's not quite 100% level, because my garage is at a has a bevel to every stall, has its own bevel for its own drain. So I think I was just off by maybe a 64th of an inch, because it leaves a tiny bit of snow on just one side. So this spring I'll take it outside, get out on the driveway itself, and that's all used to level everything out and get those fully adjusted. But one thing I do, I did, I remember Wade said this, dissimilar metal corrosion, his phrase. I'm sure it's a real phrase, but I went and used some anti-seize. And if you guys know anti-seize, it's silver stuff that if you get on your hands, you're gonna be wearing it for a while. And so I put on the, as I was putting the bolts in, I remembered this, and like the guy in the video did the same thing. He pulled the bolts back out and put the anti-seize on it. So I had a little tube of anti-seize, and I went, had gloves on it because I didn't want to get this on my hands and be wearing it for a month. So I put it all on there, and as I was taking my gloves off, I got a tiny bit on my hand, and then I went to the sink and washed it, washed right off. So I think I texted my buddy Wade and said, I think I got the cheap anti-seize because the stuff washed right off. I don't think it's really good stuff, but it's supposed to be good stuff. I just think it washes off better than the stuff he had. I think he has industrial strength anti-seize. He has a huge tub of it, and I think he enjoys his anti-seize a lot more than I ever thought necessary. But I got it on there, so if I ever need to take it off, hopefully it comes off a little easier and doesn't, wreck the bolts. So that's the Ken Mitch Fix story of the month. Is took went to work on the old snowblower, and kind of fixed some wearable parts on it. And then I got down the rabbit hole of watching other snowblower fixes, and got in a huge rabbit hole of what could happen to your snowblower, like drive line and bearings go out. I came to the conclusion I did have a bearing that went out, a bushing, I should say, a bushing on the right side went out, and all I did was there's a next spacer, and I pushed the spacer in with, this is years ago, because I didn't know what was wrong with it, and because it wasn't moving. But I took this, and I knew the axle was loose, so I just took the bushing was gone, so I just took the spacer and pushed it in a little bit, and I put more spacers or just washers on the outside. So I was riding on that. So this spring I got some more work to do on that, which reminds me. Hey, sorry for that little break there. Remember I said I had a big family? Well, my second oldest sister decided to call me while I'm trying to record on my phone here with through the app. So back to what I was explaining, I got some work to do this spring on the snowblower, and what I needed to do when I was just going to grab was some liquid wrench, because it does squeak a little bit, that area. So I threw some liquid wrench on there for now, and what I need to do this spring is pull that part of the axle off, which luckily that side of the snowblower is easier. If it was the other bushing that went out, you'd have to pull the whole axle with the gears and everything and know which gear goes where. This side, you just pull simple stuff out, slap the new bushing in, and it's up and running. Ironically, I text my brother about some of these things. He goes, "Funny, I just put a new scraper in my John Deere and I put two bushings in." So he did all the same things on his John Deere snowblower. It's just wearable parts. And so that's just part of the game. Anytime you have a Jeep or snowblower, lawnmower, just there's times too that you just have to do some general maintenance. And I was ignoring a couple things for a while, apparently, that I didn't know I needed to fix. But that's what kind of the Jeep, and what my, like, I credit Wade for this a lot too. He's not afraid to tear into things and tear it apart and see what's wrong, buy the replacement parts. And what I've learned over the years, they're kind of like Legos. You can find the right thing you need, you can pull it out, put the right one back in, the broken part, put the right one back in, and you're up and running again. The other idea you could do is you could buy us like a lawnmower, use it for 5 years, sell it before you change the oil, buy a new one, then you never have to do any maintenance. That's another route to go. And some people do that. My brother-in-law, he was at his house and he had a brand new lawnmower. I'm like, "What are you doing with that? What happened to the other Honda you had?" He goes, "I sold that one and I got this one." So he just went down the road of, "Why change the oil? Let's just get a new one." And that's a way to do it. I mean, he had a Honda that would last him 30 years, but he just, a couple new features he wanted, and There's new features, few features I want, but I have my 20-year-old Honda that's still going. So why change it? I guess sooner or later I'll get the new one, but I've had it for 20 years, 15 years, whatever it is now. Whatever, it runs, it works just great, so I can't complain. Put new blades on it this year, sharpen them up a couple times, it's ready to roll. It needs another new set of wheels. I think I put a new set of wheels on a couple years ago, and now this new house has quite a hill to it, so I wear the wheels down faster. So I do need a new set of wheels once again, but that's an easy fix. The drive wheels tend to wear out on these hills a little faster than it was on the flatland I used to be live at. So now I'm just prepping for the off-road trip. It's gonna be some light off-roading. Definitely have the winch ready to go. I don't know if I'm gonna use it because I don't really have that much snow, but I have some my pulling equipment out, the ropes and all that good stuff, the tree strap, whatever I might need, soft shackle, hard shackle, you name it, I got it, I guess. Ready for that. I think it's all in the back of the Jeep. I gotta take a double check. I think I'm taking a kid with me and my lovely wife, Mrs. Crossthread, and well, we'll see where it takes us. So this is just the preview, and then when I come back, maybe tonight or tomorrow, I'll give the review of what I all did and how much fun we had. So talk to you soon. And we're back. So here's a little bit of recap about yesterday. We knew going into it was going to be a light off-roading trip, which means they even said light recovery gear was kind of the recommendation. With only a few inches of snow on the ground, we knew it wasn't going to be a tough trail. We also knew that it was just a few inches of snow on the ground. We knew it was going to be more like fire roads, back roads, county roads, things of that nature. So we knew it wasn't going to be anything hardcore, but trip started off with my wife and I getting out to the garage and getting ready to go. And she was, "Oh, we're taking the Jeep. It's so tiny." We walked past my big, nice, roomy truck. which the truck would have handled it just fine. Would have been totally fine to pick up. But I really want to take the Jeep because that was the way everybody else was taking their Jeeps. So she goes, "Yeah, you need new tires." The first thing she says to me. She looking down, she's like, "Yeah, you need new tires." So yeah, she's on board with me, let me get new tires. So I started looking at tires a long time ago, but put on the brakes on it because, I just want to make sure we get through this tough stretch here. We'll see what the tax man says, and then hopefully we will pick some tires up. I got the money saved ready, might as well do it, but I want to make sure that the tax man, we have to do this every year with, we own our own business, you got to do the taxes. As does everybody else, I guess. But and when you own your own business, you don't know how it changes year to year. So kind of just sitting on that for a bit. So long story short, over the years I've been talking about over this year I've been talking about tires I want to get. We prepped the Jeep for 33s with the lift kit that we put on, but we also could stretch to 35s. I run a Dana 30 up front and a 44 out back. I have the lockers already, and the lockers are set. For I have to lower the gears anyhow because I have to do a 392 or numerically higher. So I was going to go to a 427 or 455-ish, 56 in that ballpark if I do the 35s, but a 420 something if I do just the 33s. So I think I'm going to stick with the 33s idea. That was the plan, original plan, and kind of priced it out and do the discount tire route, I think, just because they do free. You call it. So if you take the tire off the rim when you hit a rock or a root, they'll put it back on there for you. Free tire rotations, free tire, repairs, I guess. So that's kind of why I go there. They're not a sponsor, but I go there for that reason. Oddly enough, the dealership, when I put the KO2s on my pickup, I said, "Can you match that?" They said, "Sure." So I get that with my pickup at the dealership when I go in for oil change. So kind of a cool thing. But back to the Jeep. I think I'm gonna go with 33 KO2s again. I have 31 KO2s on it now. I like it. So I think I'm gonna go that route, but we'll see. That's about 2 months out of the, 2 months from now, I'll probably be able to pull the trigger on that. Maybe even 1 month. We'll see. But I got a couple other prep work I have to do. And I'll explain that in a future video or future podcast, kind of prepping for big tires and what you need to do there. But anyhow, so she was all on board with that, which is very exciting to hear. She's excited about me getting tires and finally getting to pull the trigger and do something about these tires. These ones, if you didn't know from before, the what front end Friday episode, I think I talked about it. But I waited too long to do the ball joints, and because so the tires are kind of uneven wear to them on the front. So I waited a little too long to do that, and that kind of ate up the tires a bit. So my fault. But that one episode, a bunch of episodes back, where I changed the ball joints, U-joints, front brakes, and steering all in one Friday night slash Saturday morning. It happened to be the hottest night on record. It felt like 103 degrees in my garage. It was just ridiculous. But in the end, though, got it all done with obviously my buddy Wade helped out. He did most of it. Would took us about 3 hours longer than it should have, but we got it all done. So go back to that episode if you haven't heard of that one, but it has some funny stories to it about watch the video fully through before you start the project, because there might be a 2 second solution to your 3 hour problem. So classic CrossFit stuff. But anyhow, that's the tires and the front end episode we did a while back. The trip itself. So the trip, I lived down in West Bloomington, and the trip was going to take us up to Elk River was a starting point. We went north out of Elk River just a handful of miles. It was with another, I think it was a Beyond Borders off-road club. Beyond Borders Overlanding, could have been them, another Overland club. It was just another group, Jeep club up there, so we just joined in with them. So the trip up, what was fun about it is this is the first time my wife and kid had been in a car and for longer than just going to the grocery store and back in a long time. So we put on some music and did some road tripping. We got Pandora in our truck, so we put on some classic music, and my wife was singing along in the back seat. She had to do the back seat thing because my younger son, who is Mr. Basketball, is closing in on 6 feet tall. He's 13 years old. He's closing in fast. So he's just stretching out like you won't believe. So my wife opted to sit in the back seat, let him have the front with a little more leg room, which was fun, which will come up a little later, but might as well tell you now. But all of us were looking at our Jeeps going like, yeah, we need LJs or four doors. This is ridiculous trying to cram these kids in the back. And we just had one of ours with. And so that talk came up when we got to Elk River. My buddy Wade's like, he had his daughter and a friend with him. And they're like, yeah, we need a bigger Jeep, I think. I guess that's why people buy four doors, is they have a family. So it's kind of a funny thing that we were talking about LJs, but we definitely are going to keep our TJs. It's just kind of add it to the herd. But I think that this TJ will be just fine for me for a very long time. But in the end, we drove all the way up there and played some music, and it was just a nice drive. There's nobody on the road nowadays anyhow, so it was pretty easy to get there. And these Jeeps don't have anti-lock brakes or traction control. So it can be a little sketchy when you're trying to hit the brakes, but just took it easy. There was really nothing to worry about. Just got to take it slow. Can't be going 150 miles an hour. But one thing I noticed too, on the Jeep with the new fenders I have on here, is that when there's any water in the air, raining out, whatever, you're going to be spraying your windshield constantly. So I have the 3-inch. I can't remember the name of these fenders now. MC fenders. And if you're ever going to do it, I would probably suggest getting the 4.5. I think these are the 3. They also make a 6. I'd probably go to the next one up because they get less spray that way, especially if you got a wider tire setup. So I noticed that on the road. My wife's like, is it raining out? I said, nah, it's just the tire spray off the tires. The road was wet, so it just sprays the windshield constantly. So there's another little tidbit of information that we noticed about the Jeep over the years. A year now of having the fenders on. But we got up there, and it must have been, if I said about 20 Jeeps, I would say. Well, that'd be probably a pretty close estimate. Mostly four doors. But there was a one, there's probably, I don't know, probably what was it, five of us that had two doors. There was one excursion joining us, which is interesting, having a big old excursion follow you through the woods. But again, it wasn't tight trails or anything, so excursion could fit just fine. I talked to the fellow who had the excursion. He goes, he has a Jeep, but he sprung an oil leak right before he's gonna leave, so he had to switch vehicles real quick. So I guess he rung what you brung is the answer there. So I'm in the garage here, and the heater just turned on. I don't need to have that on, so I'll shut that off. But so we got it all lined up, and the trail lead pretty simple. She said, get on this channel, and we took off and went. Started the trail. It was just a nice country ride through the woods. Very scenic. country ride, I guess, best way to say it, through the north part of Elk River and Big Lake. The trails were easy enough to be on. There's some good pictures online with it. And it was just a nice viewing trip, for the lack of a better term. It was all hard packed snow. Even that some of the tar roads had hard packed snow on it. My wife's like, "Were you on a dirt road?" I said, "No, this is tar. It's just hard packed snow." So that was interesting. But we got to see a lot of farmland. I grew up with a farm kid, so it's nice to see some farmland again. And then when we got out to the woods, and our little group was my buddy Wade, myself, and my brother Mike, all with our TJs. And I think we tried to do most of it in two little high. I put it four low for a minute, and I was like, "Man, I'm in fifth gear, just going 30 miles an hour, 20th miles an hour. I better just put it in four high." We tooled around for a little bit, took a little break, and cut the kids loose. It was more like a family trip, which was just fine with us. We had one of our boys with, and then we did not bring our dog, but everybody else brought their dog or multiple dogs. A friend of ours, Wade, he just got a new corgi, and it's funny when you see something you really like and you just really want it really bad. That was my wife. She just all of a sudden she was in full corgi mode in the back seat, and apparently now we're getting a corgi within the next year. We're on some waiting list somewhere. We already have a little Chihuahua cross, I forgot what other breed it is, but it's basically a Chihuahua, a little yipper. So now we're gonna get another little yipper, but they're fun dogs. We like dogs. So the trip itself, back to that, because that's why you're listening, not all the random stuff. But somebody did bring their coon hound, which was really awesome to hear the coon hound do its thing and just go nuts. I just like dogs in general, but hearing a coon hound holler and yell and bark, it's just awesome doing its calls. So there's a couple coon hounds there, a bunch of little dogs just run all over the place, and my brother had brought his dog, and it was just real fun to kind of see the animals run around. So from there, we kind of toured around to a couple different spots. There was one obstacle. It was a short trail, about 100 feet long, maybe 100 yards long, maybe not between 100 feet and 100 yards there. There's a good estimate. And that was a little bit of put in low range and just putt along through some ruts. But it was fun. It was a cool little trail, scratched the itch a little bit of getting a little off-roady. And that was kind of halfway through the day. All in all, I think we put in about 12 miles. I recorded it on the Ride Command app because it's free and I don't have a need for Onyx or anything like that just yet. I do think that Onyx is probably the one to go with if you're gonna go on a bigger trip. But the Ride Command, I just want to track the mileage and also see how to get back there if I wanted to go back. So I think this summer, we all made the comment that it was pretty scenic in the wintertime, but I think the summertime trip up there would be kind of nice, just kind of cruise around through the back roads and get out there. Looked like there's some decent hiking options out there, some horseback options. There's a 4-H club nearby. I don't know the name of any of them. But in the end, it was a fun trip just to get out of the house, listen to music, get on the road a little bit, and see something different besides the four walls that we've been looking at and the TV you stare at. So it's nice to do that. And then it kind of inspired me to kind of get going again on the Jeep build. And I had planned on getting back to the podcast soon, and I had to have a couple subject matters on it. So now I have a couple ideas for what I want to do with my own Jeep. We're going to review a couple things that Wade did with his recently too. So that's when we record for hopefully next week, very soon, or if not next weekend. But he did some changes up on what he did. He learned a few things about what he did the first time, what he was going to do different this time. I guess that's all about improvement. And then I'm going to start the process of getting this thing ready for 33s, which I'm very excited about. It'll give me something to look forward to. I guess in this weird times we're in, you got to have something to look forward to. And so this is what I'm going to use for my own mental health, is get back to building the Jeep. So So hopefully everybody else out there is happy and healthy, and hopefully we get back to normal soon. But that's the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast for this week, and I'm back, and I hope to be back on a pretty regular basis. Talk to you soon. Hey gang, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Again, if you're looking for a little bit of help with your fitness, diet, nutrition, or just getting shape, stronger, fitter, message me in the Facebook app. Thanks.